Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Wherever you are, this is the Interpreter's Workshop Podcast. I'm Tim Curry, your host. Here we talk everything sign language interpreting. The ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the sideways of interpreting. If you're a student, a new interpreter, experienced interpreter, this is the place for you. If you want to know more, go to interpretersworkshop.com. Let's start talking interpreting.
And now, the quote of the day by Edward T. Hall, Jr., American anthropologist and cross-cultural researcher. He has given much to our profession by developing the concept of proxemics and giving us what's called the Hall zones. His quote, "The essence of cross-cultural communication has more to do with releasing responses than with sending messages. It is more important to release the right response than to send the right message." In this last episode with Amaresh, we get some good advice on how to do linguistic research. We learn more about the culture of India, the languages of India, and how that influences the work of sign language interpreters there. We learn about some of the gestures that India uses to help us on our cultural journey in our work. We get many tidbits of advice for each other and for the next generation. And we get to learn a little bit more of how Amaresh's passion continues. Let's get started. So from your research to help create the sign language dictionary in India, what advice would you give countries who are thinking of doing the same thing but haven't quite got there yet?
It's a very good question. First thing I would advise is to have a proper linguist working on your team. Mm-hmm. Have a linguist, a person who has a linguistic background, who knows how to do linguistic research, that will have a person like that on your team. Secondly, the way we did our research, you know, to produce the dictionary, we first listed out all the English words, mm-hmm. Put them into different categories and stuff like that. And then we went out to, you know, collect the sites for those words.
Yeah.
Looking back, I think that was not the best way to do it. After I did my linguistic masters and linguistics and stuff like that. So you learn how to do linguistic research, you know, so. Mm-hmm. First thing you do is to collect data, as much of data as possible. In this sense, film the sign languages, you know, people communicating the sign languages, film them and have that data. Mm-hmm. So from that data, you need to pick out the terms and signs and phrases and stuff like that and build the lexicon.
Yeah.
So that is how you need to do that. So we did it the reverse order. So we actually have to do it in the reverse order. First, you need to collect people conversing. You need to collect data, sign language data. And then from there, you need to document what are the different signs that the community has and stuff like that, and with all the variations.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're looking more at how the signs are used in that context compared to just the sign by itself or the lexical item by itself, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I was working with the Central Institute of Indian Languages for a few years. So we did a lot of research and analysis into Indian sign language. We did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So this was the method that I used. So we had to have a controlled data set. Mm-hmm. So instead of having a data set which you can't control in a sense, filming conversations to random ad hoc conversations, that is, you don't control the data set. So we had a data set which we could control in the sense that we had a few stories, like those children's stories, were in basic four stories and all that. And we asked the deaf people to sign those stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then try and analyze how the languages and what are the lexicons and all that. You could do that, but that also limits your research. But if you don't want your research to be limited, then you just go ad hoc. You just collect data on huge bases and then sit and research and analyze on that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, in India, you have several different spoken languages as well, correct?
Yes.
Did you see an influence from those spoken languages on the regional signing phrases or what have you?
That's a very interesting question. I haven't really found any influence of spoken language into sign language, but there are a lot of gestures, you know, like which the general community uses, which gets into the sign language. For example, in a state called Kerala in the southern part of India.
How do you spell that?
It's spelled as K-E-R-A-L-A.
Okay.
So there in the southern Kerala, southern part of India, people actually do this gesture. So they do this gesture to say, to negate something. No, he did not come. It is not there. It is, you know, to negate something.
Kind of a American Sign Language S that explodes outward into a claw.
It's a flat O. It's a flat O.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just push your hand, you thrust your hand outward and open your fingers. Yeah.
To a five.
Like into a five. So it negates something. So, for example, if you ask, has he come? No, he has not come. You know, with this particular gesture, you know?
While you're saying that. And that's the hearing culture.
That's the hearing culture, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
So that has spilled over into the deaf signing also. So deaf people over there in the community, they when they say no, so usually in Indian Sign Language, you have the five hand. You shake the five hand, you know.
Right.
You shake it like this. So that means no. But there in that area, deaf people say no like this.
Yeah. With the
flat O.
The flat O. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So normally the no is similar to Czech Sign Language.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Negation.
Negation. Yeah. So that influence is there. So the influence of the local culture, the gesturing and all that. In India, we gesture a lot. You know, about the Indian head wobble.
Yeah.
When we speak, we gesture a lot. So
do the deaf community also use the head wobble from side to side as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And does it mean the same thing?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Definitely does. Otherwise, there'd be a lot of confusion.
Yeah, I can imagine. So for those who don't know, what does it mean when you're wobbling your head from left to right, you know, shoulder to shoulder kind of?
Okay, there are three ways. There are three things. So first is the nodding. Nodding is the normal nod.
Front to back.
Front to back, you know, up and down. Yeah, so that's yes.
Yes, okay.
So yes or something like that. So if you shake your head from side to side, that means no.
Okay.
Negation.
So that's similar to ours, yeah?
Okay, so if you wobble.
Wobble not just side to side, but almost kind of left and right, side to side and around,
So if you wobble, it's just, wow, so nice. And you kind of, you know, you're seconding what was happening.
Okay.
Affirming that kind of thing. Oh, very nice. Is it nice? When you taste something, is it nice? Is it tasty? Oh, it's very tasty. Yeah. So if you want to say yes, you nod. If you want to say yeah, then you wobble your head.
And is that pervasive throughout India, or is it different in regions? Yeah. Okay.
I think it's the same all over India. I think that's the head wobble.
Yeah.
In terms of speech, in terms of language, there are certain terms like, in India, we have different terms for family members. So for uncle, maternal uncle, we call them as mama.
Okay.
So mama is a maternal uncle.
Okay. Maternal uncle.
Yeah. So mama, when you say mama, then usually they have the M handshake. Yeah.
Okay.
And they put it on their nose, mama, like that. Yeah. Or mama on their cheek. You know, so that has influenced. a bit, I think. Yeah.
But that's meaning an uncle on your mother's side.
Correct. Yes.
Right. Okay. So that has influenced. Okay. I see.
I think there are certain expressions that have also been used in sign languages, I think. I can't get it off my head right now.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Do you personally interpret in other languages, spoken languages rather than English?
I can interpret in Hindi.
Okay.
And in Tamil fluently. But other languages I could understand, but I wouldn't be able to voice it.
Yeah, I see. A big thank you to everyone who shares this podcast with a colleague and friend. If you want to support the show even more, check out the show notes for links to buy me a coffee, because it's very embarrassing to fall asleep during an interview. Thank you. Let's go back. So in India, we've already talked about how the profession is not well paid. The conditions are not as good as you would like, and you're working on those. What is the perception of our profession, sign language interpreters, in India from a hearing community point of view? Is it like a social worker, or is it looked down upon as low status? Or
I don't think definitely it's not looked down upon. Definitely not. People, when I tell them I'm a sign language interpreter, they are usually quite, what can I say? They're very positive, you know, like they want to know more. They're very interested in this profession because it's very difficult for them to perceive, you know, like from sign language, voicing to, for them, they're not able to understand how we do it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's definitely not looked down upon.
Okay.
Many of them, of course, they feel it's a kind of a social work. Yes, I would say that in very remote parts, maybe.
Yeah.
But in urban centers, I definitely, people know that it is a proper profession kind of thing because they know about translation services, interpretation services, and stuff like that. Probably in the remote areas, they, like you to do it on a pro bono basis with them, say, he's a deaf person, you have to support him.
Yeah.
Things like that. We have instances like that, and it's also considered to be a profession. So people have always been, they always want to know more when I tell them what I'm a sign language. So, you're an interpreter. Okay, fine. That's nice. So they're very, I can't find the word for it.
They're curious or surprised?
Yeah, they would. I would say surprised. They're definitely, intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of, interpreter? Oh, really? No, what do you do? Like, you know, they're intrigued, you know, they want to know more, and they think it's a very different field, and, they're very curious. They're very intrigued. I never have gotten a negative response and negative feedback from the hearing community. So that is my personal experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that that's probably the general scene over here. So hearing people, they think that, the credit is very kind of specialized, skilled thing that person used to do. So they do respect it, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thing. So a working interpreter in the community, what would an average week look like? What type of gigs would they have?
We have interpreters who are working in organizations and institutions as an employee kind of thing, no?
Yeah.
Salaried basis. So we have that. So they work in certain organizations as an interpreter. But as a freelancer, for me, I don't do much of Indian sign language interpreting now. I just do when there's a very specific request and it's a main event or something. Except for that, I really don't do much of Indian sign language interpreting. I do more of international sign, but, I think the opportunities and work is increasing now just because of the fact that more deaf people are getting into different fields. They want to be involved. The deaf people want to be involved. So the demand for interpreters is increasing. Yeah.
So interpreters also work in the medical setting and legal setting?
Yes. We don't have in the medical setting, we don't have an interpreter over there just for that particular medical setting. We don't have anything like that as yet, I think.
Yeah.
But as and when there's a request, then we support them. But yes, in the educational setting, definitely. So, and in the CSO sector, definitely they are the interpreters who are, you know, salaried and they're working regularly. Yeah.
What one thing from your background would you ask interpreters to stop doing or to improve on?
Well, I would like, rather than asking them to stop doing certain things, I'd probably ask them to be more professional, not be more political. Try to be more professional, more political,
Be more political or not be more?
Just don't be political at all. I mean, let's not have politics in this. Let's not get politics in this at all. You know, like we are very interpreters in this world. We are very few, you know.
Yeah.
And the deaf community needs us. So if we are, you know, like fighting amongst ourselves and all that, and having a lot of politics inside our community itself, it doesn't help. So I would prefer, you know, like our interpreters to be more professional and, you know, like to help other interpreters out, you know, to help. To be more positive with other interpreters, to encourage other interpreters to improve. Yeah. I understand that, you know, you need to work, you need to earn, you need to, you have your life and stuff like that. You need to take care of your life, yes. But because of that, politicizing the whole thing, the whole profession is not nice.
Yeah.
You just be more professional. If you help others, then it'll definitely help you too. So I believe in that.
Yeah, that's a good sentiment.
Yeah.
Is there one thing you would like to tell the rest of the world from the Indian Sign Language interpreter point of view?
The rest of the world in general terms, or like?
The rest of the interpreting world. There we go.
Well, I'd just like to welcome people. You know, like just on a general thing, just like to welcome everyone to India. Enjoy our culture on our land and meet our interpreters and just share, share and what kind of message would I like to give to other interpreters? Everyone's doing a really good job and I appreciate each and every interpreter I've worked with. Yeah, they're doing a good job, they're doing a wonderful job, and I think the only thing I would like to say is I really appreciate everyone for their support, their help, and their friendship. They've been very, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Amaresh, thank you very much for your time, spending a little moment with us throughout the world to tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about India and the profession of sign language interpreters there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tim, for listening to me patiently. And you're doing a wonderful job, and I congratulate you for this and wish you all the best for the future, too.
Thank you very much, and to you and everyone there.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This was quite a mix of different information for us to think about. First, if you want to research in this area, Amaresh gave you some good advice when trying to collect the data of sign language. Learning from our history and preserving our history in the stories and the language, the use of language, is a wonderful thing for all of us. We learned about some of the gestures and how that influences communication throughout the regions, how it influences languages, spoken and signed. And we finally understood a little bit more of the head gestures in India. That's what's so fascinating about our profession. It's not only about the language that most people think of as language. It's communication.
its culture, its so many nuanced features that we have to deal with in our work that makes it so fascinating, so wonderful and fun, completely fun. And that overrides some of the problems that we have to deal with on a regular basis. Work has to be fun, and that's what drives our passion. I would never have thought that in India I would call my uncle Mama. It truly is an intriguing profession, and we need to remember that. Keep that in our minds. Keep that spark of excitement alive without becoming arrogant about it. Humility and excitement together is infectious. It spreads quickly. One of the advice nuggets that Amaresh gave us was to be more professional, not be political. There's so much going on and so many things we have to fight for. Working conditions, pay, respect, education, all of that is enough for us to deal with without having to deal with each other and our petty little fights or politics. It's not worth it. We need to discuss it and debate it, yes, but not make that our complete focus. I like working with pleasant people, and I'm sure you do too. Good advice, Amaresh. Many countries are working with trilingual interpreters. I know it's a hot topic in the US still, but many in the world are working with multi-language interpreting. Knowing multiple languages gives a different perspective. It helps us step out of the boxes and boundaries that we've given ourselves as interpreters, thinking language, language, culture, culture. But now we have a mix of languages, and we now start focusing more on what is the meaning. How does this apply in this language and cultural area? The more languages we know, the more flexibility of meaning in our minds, the more perspectives we have. But the best advice we got today was a little bit from Amaresh and a lot from his father. Amaresh carrying on the passion, the goals that his father could not meet, teaches us that not only do we need to learn from history and our mistakes, but we need to carry on the good things and to push them forward to complete projects that are worthy. So as you're working today, think about what goals you have set and how you can teach the next generation to continue those goals. How do we do that? Not having so much politics between ourselves. Many things to think about. Thank you for a great conversation, Amaresh. So until next time, keep calm, keep pleasantly interpreting. I'll see you next week. Take care now.